All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. We were hoping to have a flag in the room. Okay, but we can't wait. So, use your imagination. On the wall in front of you is an enormous flag. A flag of the United States of America. Red, white, and blue. All right. And I would ask you to please stand and join me as we pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Fabulous. We couldn't have done better. And that enormous flag will remain on the wall throughout convention. I would, at this time, like to introduce Benjamin Brown. Are you with us this morning? Yeah. Okay, well, hopefully we can come back to that. Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. Round here. Oh, you were okay. You were doing fine. I'm around. Follow my. Yeah, follow me right here a little bit further. Okay, here's the podium, and the microphone is right in front of you.
Can I have all the bow heads and closed eyes for a small prayer? I know there's many different beliefs represented here, so we're going to have a moment of silence just for everybody to worship in whatever manner they feel deemed appropriate. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for this conference, Lord. Thank you for the information that's going to be displayed here, Father. Thank you just for just another year of seeing a conference 2016, November the 4th. Just thank you for whatever you have it to be, Lord. Just lead it in the way you will for it to be led. I ask these things to be acceptable unto your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. To give a welcome from the city, I would like to introduce Pam Fernald, and I know Pam is with us.
I'm with you.
All right.
Okay. Wow, you got this is an awesome group. This is much more crowded than it was last year. So, yeah. So, good morning, Washington Council of the Blind. Yeah, good for you. Good morning. So I want to welcome you to the city of SeaTac, Washington, where everything is possible. Thank you. That's our slogan. Thank you for choosing SeaTac for your annual conference again this year. It's great to see you back. SeaTac is a fairly young city, incorporated in 1990. Our population is just over 27,000. Located within the boundaries of SeaTac is the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, which is owned by the Port of Seattle. The city doesn't own it, so. So just to kind of orient you, the airport is actually across the street to the to the west of where you are right now, down a block and then across the street to the west. And a bit further west of that is Puget Sound. Also across the street, but to the north, is a light rail station, which can take you to downtown Seattle. That's, from here, it's like a 35-minute trip. So if that will fit in your agenda, it might be a fun little jaunt to do. To the east of here is our majestic Mount Rainier, and to the south is the city of Tacoma. The city is proud to be the portal to the Puget Sound region. Our city now has two light rail stations, which has enhanced our connection to the greater Puget Sound area. So during your stay, we hope you will have time to experience our many fine restaurants and perhaps visit our parks and the beautiful Highline SeaTac Botanical Garden, the Tranquil Japanese Garden, and the Sensory Garden. All three are located just a few miles north of your hotel. I feel like an airline stewardess pointing here. And there is no fee to visit the gardens. And it's supposed to be like, well, in the high 60s today. So if you get out of here when it's still, decent out, it would be a really nice jaunt for you, I think. So both this Paradise Botanical Garden and the Seiki Japanese Garden were relocated to their current position because of airport runway expansion, and it was quite a feat, as you might imagine. It's really an awesome thing to see, and feel and hear and experience and everything. One of the great things about the Paradise Garden is that it is a joy to walk through at any time of the year, even in the middle of winter. So if you don't want to do it today, come back when it's snowing and you might like it. opened in June 2006, the Seiki Japanese Garden is another one of the Highline SeaTac Botanical Garden's great treasures, and it's located right next to the other botanical garden. These two gardens were previously located, like I said, in other places. And so they were, when the airport came in and tore everything up, they were moved to a safe location. The project to save this Japanese garden is believed to be the largest relocation of a Japanese garden ever attempted in the whole United States. So, if you want some landmark thing to take back with you. Are there people here from Spokane? Yeah. That's probably the farthest away from here, I guess. I don't know if there's anybody from out of state, but. Say what? Other states too? Oh, cool. Okay. California.
You're on the internet too.
Missouri? Wow. That's awesome. So, speaking of Missouri, we've got the Smith Tower building in Seattle, and when it was first built, it used to be the tallest building west of the Mississippi, and now it's like a little miniature toy compared to what we have. So about the Japanese garden, it's got a pond and mountain-style garden, and there are gnarled lace leaf Japanese maple that's over 100 years old. There's a pond and bridges and waterfalls and lanterns. So there's something for everybody there to hear and see and touch and all that. So, and then our sensory garden is right next to that. And it features a central plaza with a rain garden, raised beds, and tunnels of vines. The plantings are designed to stimulate all of the senses with year-round fragrance, rustling grasses, and tactile plants. Do I feel like the Chamber of Commerce or what here? But I just want you to know that there's more to SeaTac than the airport, So if that's how you got here, great. But if you have time while you're here, there's lots of beautiful things to see here. Hidden treasures, we call them. Please enjoy your time in SeaTac. And I know you'll find all the people you meet here to be very friendly and helpful. And I've seen that already this morning. My goodness, there's so much teamwork going on here. It's awesome. So enjoy your convention. I hope to see you next year. And go Hawks. That's all I can say. Thank you.
And now to welcome us from the host chapter for this year's convention, Daryl Roberts, President of United Blind of Seattle.
I think you're going to find that that applause was premature, okay? So I am not used to public speaking, so I am going to make this very short. And I want to warn whoever comes behind me, the podium is going to be a little wet from my sweat. So just be aware of that. And it doesn't help to be distracted by this gigantic flag you guys imagined on the wall here. United Blind of Seattle is proud to be the host of this convention, and I heard from someone that this may be one of the biggest ever. Oh, I'm loving that. They must have known. I would like to thank some of the members of our chapter for making this. This was a little bit of work, and we managed to get it done. And I want to thank people like Tyler and... I'm not going to give any last names. Tyler and... told you I'm not used to public speaking. I'm all nervous now. And especially Carla, thank you. Meg and Sam and Doreen. When I find out what guy volunteered us to do this, I'm going to... What did you say, Julie? Oh, it was me, wasn't it? Yeah, all right. All right. Damn, that's the biggest flag I've ever seen in my life. Well, here comes the short part. Welcome, everyone, to the 2016 Washington Council of the Blind State Convention. Thank you and good night.
Everybody, this is Cindy and convention chair, and I wanted to make a few announcements. So first of all, are y'all having a good time so far? Yay! And the weekend is young. I wanted to let you know, first of all, that we are in a smaller space for general sessions. I know you're all experiencing it. Thank you for your patience, your understanding, and hopefully everybody took showers. At lunch, though, I am going to have them do just a little bit rearranging so that we have aisles on either side of the wall. That was a misunderstanding when I explained that I wanted a bigger aisle in the middle. So we're going to try and correct that. And but thank you for your patience this morning. We have lots of volunteers here this weekend. I'm told that there are some stationed in the room, and there will be throughout the weekend. If you need some water, there should be coffee in the back. I'm told there was supposed to be anyway. Is there?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. If you're wanting coffee or water, for example, raise your hand and a volunteer will come find you. If you cannot, excuse me, stand up. If you cannot stand up, then raise your hand. And a volunteer will come and find you. If you need assistance to the restroom or anything like that, you can do the same if you need help to find your way out of this maze. Okay, and thank you to all of the volunteers, because they're going to be amazing this weekend. Be kind to them. Hopefully you have your registration. There you go. Remember to always wear your registration name tag when you are coming to any of the events. You definitely need it tonight in hospitality. And you definitely want to make sure that you have a green dot in your upper right-hand corner of your name tag if you are a voting member. So if you reach into your the pocket of your name tag, it would be on the left side of at the top there. Should be a dot. And if it's not there, go see registration. There's a couple of room changes that you need to know about. Both of them are for tomorrow, but you still need to know. Scholarship reception is going to be in the Snoqualmie Ballroom, which is in the first hallway. Oh, sit. Sorry.
She's not talking to me.
No, I was talking to my dog. So it's the first hallway and to the right. So that's one. And oh my gosh, what's the other one, you guys? There's one more. So that's a scholarship reception. Anyway, there's one more, but I cannot remember what the heck it is. So, okay. You need to be in the room for door prize drawings. So, though, thank you. That is the change. The silent auction. Whoever said that, thank you. Thank you, Danette. Silent auction, it says in the program it will open at 10. It will actually open at 12:30 in Seattle 1 because we have so many items that Lisa needs extra time to get them ready. So start checking those out this afternoon in Seattle 1. Hopefully you made your reservation for your one-on-one technology training with Al Yardley. That is required. So his number is in the program. And it is so far our largest convention at this time. I believe we are at 244. And I just have the sinking suspicion most of you are in this room right now. It is packed, and but we will again. We'll work with what we've got. And the good news is the reason that we're a little bit more crammed in here is because I listened to a lot of the responses last year from my convention survey. So if you took it, thank you. If you didn't, please do again this year when they get sent out. It makes a difference. Exhibits was in the Snoqualmie Ballroom last year, and it was also using the foyer area. And it was very crowded, and people complained that they didn't get to all of the vendors, and it was very confusing. So it is now in the Evergreen Ballroom in a bigger area, and we have 29 vendors, the most we've ever had as well, in exhibits. So make sure you check those out when you get a chance from 10 to 5. It's across the hall, yes. And then in Snoqualmie, that's that first hallway, that's where the Women's Expo will be. Today from 2 to 4, we have 9 vendors. 2 of them are garment-related, clothing. And then we have self-defense and nutritious stuff and oils and lots of things for the ladies. So come check it out if you get a chance. I think one of the highlights this year also is our student summit. That is going to be going on today. That's right. So at lunch, if you happen to be sitting with a high school student, please make sure you say hi to them. I also want to acknowledge, okay, so now listen close. If you are a current student of the Orientation and Training Center, please clap your hands now. There you go. They're all kind of clustered over there. You notice that? All right. You guys make sure you mingle and talk to other people. We want to get to know you. Okay. So lots of new people to get to know. You guys have a great time. Is there any specific question that somebody has that I didn't answer? No? The Wi-Fi costs $18 in the conference center. If you want it, you need to deal with that on your own. And I think you would go to the front desk. So.
Do they have it in the rooms?
Yes, in the rooms. You can get it for $3 a day. Anything else?
Yes.
Who's that?
Cindy.
Yeah, shout it. It's in the program. Hospitality tonight is sponsored by UBS. Last night was South King. We don't have a sponsor for Saturday. It's sponsored by WCB. That's right. Anything else?
Why is there air?
Why is there what?
Air.
I have no idea. Okay. One more thing is I want to acknowledge UBS and the work that they've done, especially in your goodie bags. I don't know if you noticed, but you have headphones in there, and I'm told they say WCB on them, and I think that's pretty amazing. So they went the extra mile. They also included a thank you card in there and, or welcome card and some fruit and candy. And anyway, you guys went above and beyond and it's appreciated. Thank you so much. Okay. And you might welcome, ACB Radio.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
I
see
just
you later.
Haven't
Good luck.
Seen the mic.
Well, as Cindy said, we have 244 here probably in this room this morning, but we also have countless members of our community who are joining us this weekend from ACB Radio, and we welcome you. We reach far and beyond. Well, last night I spoke about where we had been this past year and would like to take a few moments to talk about where we're going tomorrow and what our future holds. Tomorrow you're going to be presented with 6 constitutional amendments. And some of these are just housekeeping to clean up formatting and some verbiage that wasn't consistent. But there is one amendment that's pretty lengthy. And the board made a decision some months back to consolidate some of our committees. I've heard over and over again, we have far too many committees. We do have a lot of committees, but if those committees are doing work on your behalf, then I don't care how many we've got. However, one of the things that we need to do is, as an organization, is be more active in the community. Not the blind community per se, but the community. And to do that, we need to clean up our Communications Act. We need brochures, print brochures that are consistent across all mediums and all programs and committees. When we send a message out, that message needs to be consistent across the website, the phone system, the news line, everything that we do. And in order to do that, the board has chosen to form a communications committee. And this committee will have responsibility for the website, for public relations, for the listserv, for the Facebook social media presence, the phone system, just about every one of our communication mediums. The only one that it won't will be Newsline, which will remain its own committee. However, everything else will be molded or folded into the communications committee. That's the biggest change that you'll see tomorrow. The other thing that I don't know if I mentioned this last night or not, but we need to take a real hard look at our bylaws. Over the years, you have adopted a number of policies and procedures which have been included in the bylaws, which means if there is any change to be made, we have to come to you to make that change. Now, some changes are real minor or some are just are policy related. And if we can only come to you once a year to do that, if we have a need that's imperative, we have to sit on it. If something comes up in February, we have to wait until November to deal with it. I am going to form a task force to look at our bylaws and to determine what is policy and what is actual bylaw. And we will come back to you next October with a report and a recommendation to create a policy and procedures manual separate from the bylaws. So the bylaws will be much shorter. They'll require less attention on your part, and the board will have the authority to change policy as need be. This, I think, is a good thing, and you'll see it as a good thing, especially when we come to Saturday and having to approve changes to those bylaws, because there will be far, far fewer. We'll, if there's questions, we'll try to deal with them at the end or catch me throughout the convention. You will see a much stronger presence by the board in your chapters. We will be, as you know, we try to make a visit to your chapter in March or April of every year. We're going to try to spin that or to do that much sooner. I would like to see chapter visits occur in January and February. And then again in late spring or early summer. We want to be a resource to you and your local affiliates. And we can best do that by being in your community. So the presidents are aware, and they will be contacted by our board representatives. They'll be assigned right after convention, because we will know who our board members are for next year. And we will be out with you to help you to grow and prosper in your own communities. We are going to make a concerted effort to look for additional funding opportunities for WCB. Those of you that have been with us for a while will remember the vehicle donation program. We lived off of that program. Vehicle donations funded just about everything we did as an organization outside of the holiday show. Well, the IRS put a stop to that. And today I am sad to report that this past year the vehicle donation program contributed $45 to WCB. And we now have two auto auction organizations working with us, and yet we earned $45. So we need to get out into the community. And I mentioned this with our communications committee. And part of the reason for that is we need to start contacting corporations. We need to be out there speaking to employees and encouraging them to remember us in their employee giving programs. We need to be writing grants. We need to be looking for new opportunities to fund this organization. Right now, we're having to pull some funds from our long-term investments. I don't like doing that. And there are opportunities out there for us to capitalize on. I mean, there are programs in the Seattle area, and I don't know if I do this on the east side of the mountains, but Give Big. Give Big is a huge fundraising campaign that we're not a part of. We need to be. We will be a part of that. So you will see WCB looking to opportunities, and we'll need your help in your local communities. I mean, we have Microsoft, we have Amazon, we have Nintendo, we have huge corporations that we could be looking to for sponsorship of programs. You have those same kinds of opportunities in your communities. We need to work together to communicate with those organizations and have a presence and make, let them know that, that we're out there. Something that has really troubled me, and maybe it's in part because I'm becoming one, but that's our older blind program within the state of Washington. More and more of us, the baby boomers, are aging. We're in our 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and some even beyond. And our vision is changing. But the funding for those programs is not. Which means each of those with who are older, blind, and need services are receiving a smaller piece of the pie. And in many cases, crumbs. That needs to change. And to do that, I have formed a coalition of organizations that serve the older blind to begin addressing this problem. We are not going to see any change this legislative session because they're consumed with the McCleary decision and having to address that. But that doesn't mean that we can start getting our ducks in a row in order to work on behalf of our older blind in the coming year and years. I have formed this coalition with WCB, of course. The National Federation of the Blind of Washington is a part of it. Sight Connection, Lilac Services for the Blind in Spokane and Wenatchee, the Edith Bischel Center in the Tri-Cities, and the SILC, which is the State Independent Living Councils, all have enthusiastically agreed to participate in this coalition and to work together to change the funding model for the older blind independent living programs in Washington State. Last night, after a lot of discussion, you welcomed Beat Ball Clubs of Washington State into our family. And many of you have been telling me over the year that we need more younger people in our organization. Well, Beat Ball Clubs will open that door. And just because they are an affiliate now, we need to figure out how to welcome them and provide them with the services and programs that they need. The door is open. We have to entice them to walk through it. That's going to take some work. But we have an opportunity to not only affect the lives of the millennials, but also the younger children. And those children will one day grow up to be the millennials. They'll be called something else by then. But and someday they'll be members of that older blind program. But we need to be touching lives. And whether they're 5 years old or 85 years old, we need to figure out how to touch those lives and to let people know that they are valued and that we honor their independence, their opportunity, and their equality within Washington State. And following on the youth theme, 2 years ago, Congress enacted the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act. That was a reauthorization of the Vocational Rehabilitation Act with a lot of new strings attached. And one of those strings is that the federal government is telling vocational rehabilitation agencies that receive federal funding, 15% of those funds are to now be used on youth in transition. Now, in itself, that's a great thing because it provides some funding for youth programs, but the challenge is they're not increasing funding in order to allow vocational rehabilitation agencies to do that. They're just saying you need to cut the piece of pie a little bit bigger for this program, which means those in vocational rehabilitation might receive less because the pie is only so big. Now, our Department of Services for the Blind currently offers some tremendous programs for youth, but they're only spending about 6%, which means they need to look to new ways. They need to get creative and start thinking outside of the box in regards to how they service those youth. That's an opportunity for WCB. And we have already begun thinking about how we can offer services to the Department of Services to the Blind so that they can better serve youth in transition. And those are youth typically 14 to 21 years of age. And the cool thing about it is that we can be compensated for that. DSB has to spend money. They're going to spend it somewhere with somebody. And there's no reason why we can't be a part of that. And so we're going to be looking at how we do that. Today, we're sponsoring a youth summit. The registration fee for every student has been paid for by DSB. As well as that of their parents. And if they're traveling over the mountains and need to spend tonight at the hotel, they're paying for their lodging. Okay. Today we have 7 students joining us for our student summit. And I really should thank Lori Allison and the members of the Families with Blind Children Committee for all the work that they have done. And that can only get bigger. Let me see what I can cut out to shorten this. And I don't think anybody is going to raise a hand in objection. I think the most important thing is to remember that my vision of this organization is pretty grand. And sometimes it's a little too grand for the board of directors. But if we don't shoot for the stars, we'll never come close. I don't know if any of you know of a gentleman by the name of Victor Kiam. Victor was an entrepreneur and the owner of a football team I won't mention, not local. But Victor said, even if you fall on your face, you're still moving forward. Okay? I would rather fall on my face a few times and move forward, even if it's just a little bit, if it better serves you as our membership and those that come after us. I just cut out the last five pages. We are on the verge of greatness. We are good right now. There is no question about that. I hear all the time when I go back to Washington, D.C. for the legislative seminar, or even just in talking with Jeff Bishop, our ACB rep, this weekend, we are good, but we're on the verge of greatness. But we can only achieve that greatness with your help. So please join me as we move forward this year, and help us all come together to make WCB the organization that we can be. Thank you. Julie, would you like? Okay. Julie Brannon, chair of the awards committee, wanted to make an announcement.
All right. I bet the microphone's a lot taller than I am.
No.
Hey, pretty good. All right. I am here to represent the nominating committee, and I'd like to mention the members on the committee first, because if I don't, I'll forget my memory lately. Too many names. Jim Turi, I'd like to thank, and Vivian Conger. Thank you both. For those of you who might be new here, let me just explain. The names that this nominating committee is putting forward to the various officer, director, alternative delegate positions is not saying these people are voted for. We're just saying these are recommendations for people that have submitted their names. So other people that submitted their names and are not coming forth through the committee can certainly have their names brought forth again from the floor, and anyone else can. So that's why nominations get so exciting. So anyone can present themselves. And, you know, if I want to say one thing, don't nominate somebody unless you've checked with them. We've had that happen. So-and-so nominates so-and-so, and that person goes, I don't want it. So anyway, just a recommendation. But the nominating committee is putting forth the following names for the positions open. Second Vice President Sue Amater, Secretary Frank Cuda. There are three director positions. The names we're putting forward are Andy Arvidsson, Lori Allison, and Carol Brain. For alternate delegate, and for people who are new, what that person does is goes to the convention, the national convention, this year coming up in Las Vegas, and that person is there to...
Reno, Julie.
I'm in Nevada at least. Thank you. Yeah, Reno, thank you. Anyway, that person assists the president with all kinds of duties, and they're at this point, their way is paid to do that, and the name we're putting forward for that is Danette Dixon. Thank you very much.
As Julie said, those are the individuals the nominating committee is putting forward. But that's not to say that if you were not one of those people and you would like to be considered for that position, you can be nominated from the floor. At this time, we're not asking for nominations. I would just like people to let the convention know if you plan to seek an office. So if you could just holler out your name and the office, we can do that now.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
And I'm announcing my intention to run for the office of secretary.
Thank you.
Denise, no, Denise Conner.
That was Denise Colley announcing that she will also seek the office of secretary. Anyone else? Did someone? Is that Danielle? Danielle Marr is seeking one of the board positions. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, no speeches.
Okay.
Doreen Cornwell is going to run for second vice president. Anyone else? Now, this is not to say that you still cannot run from the floor tomorrow. But we would like people to know now if you have an intention. No one else? Yes, Dan. Okay. Dan Lovell would like to be the alternate delegate. And please shout out. I can't see hands very well. Okay. All right. Anyone else? All right. Okay. Thank you very much. At this time, I would like to introduce Frank Cuda to give the Constitution and Bylaws report.
All right. Welcome, everyone. I need a little more on this mic. This is the first reading of our Constitution and Bylaws. We will just be reading it. We were already 5 minutes behind, and I know that these are going to take 5 minutes more than our allowed for on the program. So we're going to jump right into this. I thought we would read them live, but we determined that the fastest way to get through these is just to play the recording that we've got. And this is Lisa George reading the first reading of the Constitution and Bylaws. By the way, we have large print copies, braille copies, that it's online. You can listen to it on the phone. All this information is available. See me at the break if you want to examine these closer before we actually vote on them tomorrow. We're ready. Play the recording.
Amendment 2016-1, the proposed amendment adds a definition of business meeting which was not previously specified anywhere in the Constitution. Inserting this as Section 1 will require renumbering the existing sections in Article 8. Existing language. There is no existing language. 2016-1, proposed language. Article 8, meetings. Section 1, business meeting. The organization's business meeting of the general membership shall occur at WCB's annual convention as defined in this article. Amendment 2016-2. The proposed amendment updates the process used by affiliates to submit their membership data and dues to follow currently preferred electronic methods. It also changes the deadline from received by February 10 to submitted or postmarked on or before February 10. Existing language. Bylaw 13, affiliate stipends. WCB may, when the budget permits, issue to each affiliate an annual stipend providing affiliates meet the following criteria. Number one, each affiliate will ensure that dues and requested contact information for all affiliate members, including a list of the current year's elected officers and board members, is received by the designated representatives of WCB by February 10 of the given year. 2016-2, proposed language. Bylaw 13, affiliate stipends. WCB may, when the budget permits, issue to each affiliate an annual stipend providing affiliates meet the following criteria. Number one, each affiliate will ensure that dues and requested contact information for all affiliate members, including a list of the current year's elected officers and board members, are sent to the designated representatives of WCB. All required information must be submitted electronically on or before February 10 of the given year. Dues, whether electronic or by check, must also be submitted or postmarked on or before that date. Amendment 2016-3. The proposed amendment changes the alternate delegate to our national convention from a funded elected position to a non-funded appointed position. Existing language. Bylaw 2, WCB delegates to American Council of the Blind, ACB convention. A. The president of WCB will be our delegate to the ACB convention. If at the time of the WCB fall convention it is known that the president will not be able to serve as delegate, a separate election will be held to fill that position. B. At the fall convention, an alternate delegate and substitute will be elected from the general membership in a single election, the person getting the greatest number of votes becoming the alternate and the person getting the second most votes becoming the substitute. If the delegate or alternate is later unable to attend the convention, the alternate will replace the delegate and the substitute will replace the alternate. The president and his or her designee will determine the eligibility of a candidate to run for these positions. C. Nominating Committee Representative. It is expected that the WCB delegate or the alternate delegate to the ACB convention shall serve as WCB's representative to the ACB Nominating Committee. However, if neither of them is able to attend the nominating committee meeting, the delegate will select another member to serve. D. Eligibility and expectations. All persons elected specifically to serve in any of the above delegate positions must have attended at least one ACB convention, and no one may serve as alternate for two consecutive conventions. No one may serve who has outstanding WCB loan payments in default. It is anticipated that the delegate and the alternate will be seated with the WCB delegation during business meetings of the General Assembly. While absence from the delegation may be necessary, it is expected that one or the other must be present at all general sessions in case there is a standing vote. The alternate will assist in the will assist the delegate with convention duties and will also be responsible for providing guidance to WCB members attending their first ACB convention. E. Travel. Unless other arrangements are approved in advance by the WCB president, WCB will directly purchase round-trip coach fare airline tickets for the delegate and will directly pay lodging expenses. In lieu of air transport, mileage will be reimbursed at the current Office of Financial Management, OFM, mileage rate, up to a limit not to exceed the cost of coach airfare. Expenses essential to the transaction of WC business are reimbursable. These expenses may include taxi fares, parking fees, bridge and ferry tolls, and the cost of ground transportation. Per diem will be calculated and paid in accordance with the per diem rates published by OFM. All filings for reimbursement must include the WCB reimbursement form and associated receipts. WCB may, when the budget permits, pay some or all of the travel expenses of the alternate delegate. 2016-3 Proposed Language. Bylaw 2, WCB Delegates to American Council of the Blind, ACB Convention. A. Delegates. The president of WCB will be our delegate to the ACB Convention. The president will appoint an alternate delegate to the National Convention no less than 30 days prior to the opening session of the convention. B. Nominating Committee Representative. It is expected that the WCB delegate or the alternate delegate to the ACB convention shall serve as WCB's representative to the ACB Nominating Committee. However, if neither of them is able to attend the Nominating Committee meeting, the delegate will select another member to serve. C. Expectations. It is anticipated that the delegate and alternate will be seated with the WCB delegation during business meetings of the General Assembly. While absence from the delegation may be necessary, it is expected that one or the other must be present at all general sessions in case there is a standing vote. The alternate will assist the delegate with convention duties and will also be responsible for providing guidance to WCB members attending their first ACB convention. D. Travel expenses. Unless other arrangements are approved in advance by the WCB president, WCB will directly purchase round-trip coach fare airline tickets for the delegate and will directly pay lodging expenses. In lieu of air transport, mileage will be reimbursed at the current OFM mileage rate up to a limit not to exceed the cost of coach airfare. Expenses essential to the transaction of WCB business are reimbursable. These expenses may include taxi fares, parking fees, bridge and ferry tolls, and the cost of ground transportation. Per diem will be calculated and paid in accordance with the per diem rates published by OFM. All filings for reimbursement must include the WCB reimbursement form and associated receipts. WCB may, when the budget permits, reimburse the alternate delegate up to $300 for travel expenses. Amendment 2016-4. The proposed amendment merges together two sections in Article 6, Officers and Their Duties, one of which lacked a title. This is not a change in policy or process, only a change in the way that this information is presented. Existing language. Article 6, Officers and Their Duties, Section 2. On the first day of the annual state convention, immediately following the report of the nominating committee, the chair shall call for other candidates to seek the floor and announce their intent to run for elected office. Section 3, Elections. Officers shall be elected by a majority vote of the members who are present and voting. There shall be no proxy voting. Voting shall be by secret ballot unless otherwise decided by a majority of the members present and voting. If no nominee receives a majority vote on a given ballot, the persons receiving the two highest vote totals shall remain on the list of nominees, and a subsequent ballot shall be taken to determine a majority. 2016-4, Proposed Language. Article 6, Officers and Their Duties. Section 2, Elections. On the first day of the annual state convention, immediately following the report of the nominating committee, the chair shall call for other candidates to seek the floor and announce their intent to run for elected office. Officers shall be elected by a majority vote of the members who are present and voting at the business meeting. There shall be no proxy voting. Voting shall be by secret ballot unless otherwise decided by a majority of the members present and voting. If no nominee receives a majority vote on a given ballot, the two persons receiving the highest vote totals shall remain on the list of nominees, and a subsequent ballot shall be taken to determine who is elected. Amendment 2016-5. The proposed amendment clarifies titles in Article 7 and related sections. This is not a change in policy or process, only a change in the way that this information is presented. Existing language. Article 7, Directors. Section 1, Section 2. 2016-5, Proposed Language. Article 7, Board of Directors. Section 1, Composition. Section 2, Meetings. Amendment 2016-6. The proposed amendment is a total rewrite of Bylaw 1 committees. Many of the closely related small committees have been consolidated into larger committees. Existing language, Bylaw 1, WCB Standing Committees. The following standing committees are established, and unless otherwise specified in the Constitution, all appointments to them should be completed by the first board meeting each year. The president has the authority to combine the duties of two or more committees as the need arises. A, advocacy. This committee works on individual and general issues of discrimination that come to the attention of WCB throughout the year. Its members are called upon to do research and communicate on behalf of the organization with employers, businesses, other organizations, and individuals in order to promote advocacy. B, aging and blindness. This committee's focus is the senior blind. It works throughout the year on ideas to improve the lives of senior citizens experiencing vision loss, as well as tracks and reports on issues of concern to the board and members of WCB. C, awards. This committee administers the WCB awards program by processing nominations for specific awards, making the selections for awards as they deem appropriate, and presenting the awards at the annual banquet of WCB. The deadline for submission of nominations is August 31. D, Constitution and Bylaws. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee shall be appointed by the President no less than 60 days before the opening of the annual convention. Unless other arrangements are made by the President, this committee shall meet immediately following the pre-convention board meeting. The first order of business will be to report the slate of proposed amendments. Unless withdrawn by the author, all proposed amendments must be passed out of committee to the floor with either a do pass, do not pass, or no recommendation. E, convention. This committee is the planning group for the WCB State Convention. F, crisis. This committee administers the WCB crisis program. G, environmental access. The Environmental Access Committee addresses environmental access issues specific to blindness and vision loss in the built environment. The committee also makes recommendations when WCB finds common cause with other communities affected by a specific issue. The committee concentrates on issues related to transportation, including public transit funding, street design, walkability, and accessible pedestrian signals. It promotes the implementation of universal design methodology. The committee provides information to individual members and chapters promoting efforts to resolve issues in local jurisdictions. H, families with blind children. This committee addresses issues specific to children who are blind and addresses the associated concerns of family members. I, finance. Number one, this committee develops the WCB annual budget, which is presented at the pre-convention board meeting and voted on at the general membership business meeting. Budget line items approved by the convention may be adjusted by the board of directors between conventions. Number two, this committee processes all grant requests received by WCB and reports them to the board for action with a do pass, do not pass, or no recommendation. Grant requests must be submitted in writing using the WCB grant application form and will be awarded primarily to 501c3 organizations and governmental entities. Grants or parts of grants will not be awarded by the WCB to fund salaries or to supplant other funding. Number three, any motion coming before the board, WCB board, to allocate, award, or grant funds without going through the Finance Committee processes provided for in parts 1 and 2 of this bylaw shall require a unanimous affirmative vote of all board members present and voting to pass. J, first timers. This committee administers the WCB first timer awards programs for both the state and national conventions by processing applications and selecting the award winners. K, history. This committee is responsible for preserving the history of the WCB and that of the organizations which preceded it. L, investment. This committee tracks the financial investments of the WCB and recommends changes in our investment strategy to the board. M, leadership. This committee plans the WCB state leadership and training seminars. N, legislative. This committee tracks and reports legislative issues to the board and members of WCB. O, listserv. This committee works as moderators of the WCB email list, overseeing the list activity, ensuring that the list runs smoothly, and keeping list rules up to date and relevant. P, membership. This committee works to increase membership in the WCB, assists new chapters to get started, and provides support and consultation to existing chapters. Q, newsline. This committee is the editorial body for the state newsletter, the Newsline. It reviews and processes all submitted articles and makes other editorial decisions regarding the next issue. With board concurrence, it may also establish policies surrounding this publication. R, nominating. The president shall appoint a nominating committee of 3 persons not less than 60 days before the annual convention. No person who is seeking election shall serve on the nominating committee. The nominating committee shall report the proposed list of candidates on the WCB email list and notify the president so that the telephone service can be updated no less than 10 days prior to the opening session of the fall convention. The nominating committee shall report at the opening meeting on the first day of the annual convention the name of the candidate nominated for each position to be filled. S, public relations committee. This committee will oversee press releases, social networking, and other ways of promoting WCB and its affiliates. T, resolutions committee. The chair of the Resolutions Committee shall be appointed by the President no less than 60 days before the opening of the annual convention. Unless other arrangements are made by the President, this committee shall meet immediately following the pre-convention board meeting. It will be the responsibility of this committee to draft new resolutions and to review resolutions submitted by members. Unless withdrawn by the author, all proposed resolutions must be passed out of committee to the floor with either a do pass, do not pass, or no recommendation. U, scholarship. This committee administers the WCB scholarship program by processing applications, interviewing applicants, selecting the scholarship winners, and presenting these awards at the WCB State Convention. V, website oversight. This committee will act as the WCB's principal agent for maintaining a website that is informative, secure, and accessible. Responsibilities shall include, but not be limited to, supervising our domain name registration, selecting the web hosting service, directing a website developer, reviewing all website content, and maintaining frequent, independently stored backup copies of the site. The committee shall seek guidance from the board and obtain concurrence from the president for all contracting decisions. 2016-6, proposed language. Bylaw 1, WCB Standing Committees. The following standing committees are established, and unless otherwise specified in the Constitution, all appointments to them should be completed by the first board meeting each year. The President has the authority to combine the duties of two or more committees as the need arises. Members of all committees serve on the behalf of the organization and the board, promoting WCB principles, ideals, and interests. Issues and concerns discovered by any committee shall be reported to the board in a timely manner. A. Advocacy. Members of this committee address issues of discrimination and accessibility by investigating concerns raised by blind individuals and communicating with employers, businesses, other organizations, and individuals in order to promote advocacy and accessibility. B, aging and blindness. Members of this committee work to improve the lives of senior citizens experiencing vision loss. C, awards. Members of this committee administer the WCB annual awards program and the First Timers Awards to both the ACB and WCB annual conventions. D, communications. Members of this committee are tasked with producing a unified, consistent message across all media channels, including these areas: WCB's website, social media, public relations, WCB's phone system, and the WCB listserv. The committee shall seek guidance from the board and obtain concurrence from the president for all contracting decisions. Number one, website. Acts as WCB's principal agent to maintain a website that is informative, secure, and accessible. Responsibilities include, but are not limited to, domain name registration and supervision, web hosting service selection, website development direction, website content review, and frequently independently stored backup copies of the website. Two, social media. Manages the social media presence of WCB on channels such as Facebook, Twitter, and others, posting frequent updates and announcements. Three, public relations. Oversees press releases, social networking, and other ways of promoting WCB and its affiliates. Four, WCB phone system. Appoints and supervises the receptionist working with the phone system, develops and maintains the receptionist handbook, and other duties as may be required. Five, WCB listserv moderates the WCB email list, oversees list activity to ensure that it runs smoothly, and keeps the list rules up to date and relevant. E, constitution and bylaws. Members of this committee review and consider any and all amendments to the WCB Constitution and bylaws, presenting the proposed slate at the annual convention. Unless withdrawn by the author, all proposed amendments must be passed out of committee to the floor with either a do pass, do not pass, or no recommendation. In addition, members also analyze the constitutions of proposed affiliates for consistency with the WCB constitution and bylaws. F, convention. Members of this committee make all arrangements for the annual WCB state convention. G, crisis. Members of this committee administer WCB's crisis program. H, families with blind children. Members of this committee address issues specific to children who are blind, as well as concerns of family members. They also administer all programs associated with students. I, finance. Members of this committee are responsible for developing the annual budget, analyzing all grant requests received, monitoring WCB's financial investments, and recommending changes in investment strategy when appropriate. Number one, the proposed WCB annual budget must be presented at the pre-convention board meeting and passed by a majority vote at the business meeting of the general membership. Budget line items approved by the convention may be adjusted by the board of directors between conventions. Number two, all grant requests received by WCB and analyzed must then be reported to the board for action with a do pass, do not pass, or no recommendation. Grant requests must be submitted in writing using the WCB grant application form and will be awarded primarily to 501c3 organizations and governmental entities. Grants or parts of grants will not be awarded by WCB to fund salaries or to supplant other funding. Number three, any motion coming before the WCB board to allocate, award, or grant funds that has not first been reviewed by the Finance Committee shall require a unanimous affirmative vote of all board members present and voting to pass. J, government affairs. Members of this committee track and report legislative and policy issues significant to the board and members of WCB. In addition, they work with legislative bodies to advocate for laws and regulations affecting citizens who are blind or visually impaired. K, history. Members of this committee preserve the history of WCB and that of the organizations which preceded it. L, leadership. Members of this committee plan and conduct leadership programs which identify and foster potential future leaders, including but not limited to the WCB Leadership Seminar and the Leadership Institute. M, membership. Members of this committee work to increase WCB membership by assisting new affiliates in getting started and providing support and consultation to existing ones. N, newsline. Members of this committee are the editorial body of the WCB newsletter, The Newsline. All submitted articles are reviewed, processed, and may be edited if appropriate prior to publication and distribution to readers. With board concurrence, the committee may also establish policies surrounding the newsline. O, nominating. Members of this committee will recruit nominees, consider applications, and recommend nominees for election to the membership at the annual convention. The president shall appoint a 3-person nominating committee no less than 60 days before the annual convention. No person who is seeking election shall serve on the nominating committee. The nominating committee chair shall report the proposed list of candidates on the WCB email list and notify the communications committee chair so that the telephone service can be updated no less than 20 days prior to the opening session of the fall convention.
Okay, so that we're making a little correction there. The nominating committee should report its results 20 days before. It's actually 10 days. Go ahead. We're not finished yet. Let's finish this up.
The nominating committee shall report at the opening meeting of the first day of the annual convention the names of the candidates nominated for each position to be filled. P, Resolutions Committee. The chair of the Resolutions Committee shall be appointed by the president no less than 60 days before the opening of the annual convention. Unless other arrangements are made by the president, this committee shall meet immediately following the pre-convention board meeting. It will be the responsibility of this committee to draft new resolutions and to review resolutions submitted by members. Unless withdrawn by the author, all proposed resolutions must be passed out of committee to the floor with either a do pass, do not pass, or no recommendation. Q, scholarship. Members of this committee administer the WCB scholarship program by processing applications, interviewing applicants, selecting the scholarship winners, and presenting these awards at the WCB State Convention. R, WCB cares. Members of this committee let WCB members know that we, as an organization, are thinking of them, sharing in their joy and sorrow. Through telephone communication, personalized notes, or floral arrangements, we are never alone because WCB cares.
Thank you, Lisa.
This concludes the proposed constitutional amendment.
Thank you for your attention, members, and we'll see you again tomorrow. That concludes the report of Constitution and Bylaws, first reading.
Thank you. A lot of work went into that, believe me. I would like to, at this time, introduce our keynote speaker. As I mentioned earlier, many of us live in the backyard of a little computer software company that has affected our lives in so many positive ways. All right, thank you. We are honored this morning to have with us the Chief Disability Coordinator, I believe that's correct, for Microsoft, Ms. Jenny LaFleur.
Hi there, good morning. Alright, so I'm gonna share a little bit about what we're up to. It's more my honor, Steve, to be here. More than anything else. So first, let me kind of introduce myself. I'm Jenny Leigh Flurry. I'm not from these parts. You may pick up on that. I'll give you the backstory. And forgive me. I know there's some in the audience who may have heard this, but tough. I have the microphone and you do not. So yeah, I am born in a little place called Birmingham. Has anyone heard of Ozzy Osbourne? Yep. I don't have the accent, and there's a reason for that, which is I'm actually profoundly deaf. And I think that's what they call deaf gain, right? Is where you don't, you know, there's a benefit to having a disability, and it's definitely mine. I don't sound like Ozzy Osbourne. And so I'm the daughter of two teachers who went on to be principals, and very, very passionate about special education. Which is a good job because they had me. I got measles and ear infections as a kid. My sister, who was born with congenital loss, and my dad, who has and still has the kind of deafness where he hears dinner, but funnily enough does not hear dishes, if that any, right? So kind of a loud house. My parents did me a great thing, which is they told me to go after and do anything I set my mind to. And you could do anything. And I firmly believe that. So I went on to be a musician, which is not the normal path for a deaf girl. And I was really convinced that I was going to be a classical musician. I'm nowhere near cool enough to be a rock musician. Until I discovered that most musicians are starving as I came out of college, as a clarinetist. I basically had to really, oh, sounds great to me. Is this where Deaf Girl sings?
Give her a mic. Yeah. No, it's a plugged in mic. Can't be bad.
All right. Let me grab this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Testing 1, 2, 2.
Let me turn that off.
Testing 1, 2.
I'm on another wireless mic. You got them muted?
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Well, maybe more than just one mic is
dead. It sounds like it.
How about this one here? Testing.
1, 2, 3. They're all
running through the system, but it's not, they're not coming on the house. Something on the house.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Testing.
Hang fire, guys. Anyone technical in the room? Is this better?
We're having problems here with the microphones actually running through the system but not being heard in the room at the present time.
So and talking loudly isn't going to work.
Oddly enough, you have the best seat in the house. You can hear better listening on the internet than people in the room. There are attempts being made to solve that right now, by the way.
Hey, folks, if I shout a little, does that help or not? No. All right, patience. They're all working on it in the corner. Apologies, folks. We will get going as soon as we have some capability. Badly. That would not be. I can dance, but that's not going to help no one.
No, I don't know. I don't know which one it is. Testing, 1, 2, 3. I'm talking into this wireless mic and listening on the recorder, and I'm not getting any. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing. This is like 4 or 5, probably. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Nothing. Testing.
Getting feedback, progress is probably being made.
Sorry, Jenny.
No, 1, 2, 3. Okay. Now I'm getting a little out of this wireless mic. Okay. Okay, is the front podium mic on yet?
All right, let me see. Is this still?
No.
Woo-hoo!
All right, if I go out again, just breathe. Okay, where was I? Music. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, starving. I went and got a job. IT. I actually ended up working on an IT help desk. Anyone heard of the Daily Mirror? That'll wake you up. It's a very reputable newspaper in the UK. In fact, the editor at the time that I was there was Piers Morgan. Anyone heard of him? All right, so now you're catching my drift. What I found was a couple of things. They're making sure the mics stay up. I'm leaving that happening to my right. So I found a couple of things. One was that journalists were interesting, and two was that I loved problem solving with computers. I'd never really used a computer before. It wasn't generally part of learning how to play a clarinet, but I found that it was actually really fun. And it was fun messing around with technology and seeing what you could do with it. So 20 years on, that reveals my age. I'm now at Microsoft. I've actually been at Microsoft for 12 years. I came to the US 10 years ago and was originally hired originally hired over in London. And I wasn't hired to do accessibility or disability. I was hired to run stuff for Hotmail and MSN. Anyone remember that? Right. But the deaf girl thing got in the way. I found that I struggled. While I have speech that's pretty deceptive, right? You can't tell necessarily. I'm sure you pick up more than a lot. But my speech is generally pretty good. But I was struggling in the workplace as an employee. So I got involved, thanks to HR at Microsoft, with the deaf group. Then, because I'm nosy or curious, depending on your outlook, I joined every other group I could find. And I found that there were 6-7 groups at Microsoft that had been going for 20 years. And one of the oldest was our parents of kids with autism. And one of the others was VIP, visually impaired persons. And we're still the VIP community at Microsoft today. What I found is that all of these groups, regardless of the disability, were having some of the same conversations. It was all about how do I work, how do I tell my manager, how do I advocate for what I need, and then this thing called technology and how could we make it better and easier for people to use. It's so funny because I see you shushing, but I can't hear it. It's great. I'm sorry. It's just giggling me. I'll keep going. So if I wind forward, those 6 groups are now 12. We had our first employee group meeting, like an annual conference, kind of like what you guys are doing today. We had our first meeting 6-7 years ago, and I had 80 people show up, and I thought that was a victory. The last year, we had 1,000 show up. Right? So we have an incredible community of people with disabilities. 6 years ago, I flicked out of that career that I thought I was following for the rest of my life and came full-time on accessibility. And I've been doing that internally at Microsoft now since then, advocating for better products and being a very professional complainer within the company on what was right and what was wrong. One of the things that we launched was Disability Answer Desk. Has anyone heard of that? Rockin'. And Disability Answer Desk, for those who don't know, we call it DAD, right? We like our little acronyms. I don't have a mom, but I have a dad. It is a support service for any and all customers with disabilities or those using accessibility. It's a 1-800 number. It's chat. And we also have, for the deaf, a video ASL line. Folks, this kind of started as a little bit of an experiment a few years ago to see if we could help folks get to people that actually knew what you were looking for and what I was looking for, right? So when somebody comes to us and says, hey, I need help with Office and Jaws, instead of somebody looking and saying, what the movie, they actually know what you're talking about. So these are people who are specifically trained in disability, and are often folks with disabilities themselves. Some of them are working here in Washington State at a call center called Orion in Auburn, which has been a great partnership, by the way. They're in a huge company all about employment of people with disabilities, so I'm a big fan. We are now taking, and I'll share with you the numbers, last month we took 22,000 calls on this line. It's a free service, and it's something that's growing as people want to know how technology can help their lives. So I hope that if you don't know about it, we'll make sure you get the links, and please do help us to get the word out on it. The other thing is I became Chief Accessibility Officer in January. Was how we look at our products and services. And actually, we've got, to help us with that, an amazing partnership with the American Council for the Blind. And Mr. Jeff Bishop is kind of one of our buddies at this point. And we harass him on pretty much a daily basis to help us figure out what the right and wrong thing is to do. We've had a long, long history with the technology side, and I'd say we've got it right and wrong in those years. We've been groundbreaking as a technology company, and sometimes we've just missed a trick in pushing out a product that just wasn't something we should be proud of when it comes to accessibility. But I'd say we're on a pretty good path. In January, what we did was really reestablish accessibility at Microsoft. It's not just me and my gang, and I've got a gang of merry folks back in Redmond. I got about 23 folks now on my team, five of whom have blindness visual impairment. And I think that's bloody important, by the way, to have folks who really get this to help us make sure that we bring that into our products and services. But really it was about reestablishing us as something you could trust. And products that can help, whether it's work, life, or play. So the values, right, you hear lots of companies, I'm sure, spout values, but our values are to be accountable, to be really inclusive across the spectrum of disability. And there's a lot in disability that I think is still candidly in the closet. I've had a lot of communications this week about bipolar and depression and anxiety, which are not visible. They're invisible disabilities and what we can do there. But across the spectrum, and then to be really transparent about what's coming up. So we're trying to build up the websites and get that information out a lot more easily. So if you haven't seen our new website, it's microsoft.com/accessibility. So hopefully fairly simple. And also one of my big initiatives is around hiring people with disabilities and building that best practice across not just Microsoft, but every corporate. So the other site we launched was Microsoft.com. I'll take it. Microsoft.com/inclusive hiring. And that's where we put all of our best practice. Here's some of the stuff just to, you know, that we're working on. And one of the things in coming here and in partnership with Jeff and Eric and others is to make sure that we are prioritizing the right thing. So I'm more and very open and want feedback. Which is we're really focused on our websites. Websites are just where you get information these days. If they don't have the right accessibility in them, you can't access them. I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? So whether that's Microsoft.com or it's our careers site, so people can apply for jobs easily in the same way as anyone else. And they also know all the things about Microsoft when they're applying for a job, right? So we of course, provide accommodations, anything that's needed for an employee to be successful. So it's about their mad skills and not, and sorry, mad being a good term, as opposed to a bad term. It's not necessarily about how the disability needs to work in the workplace. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's a really important gig for us. The other one is when we talk about some of the products that I'm sure some of you have, right? Who's got Windows? Who's got a device with Windows on it? Awesome. She says, swallowing coffee. I've been here for too long. I should say I'm actually a dual citizen now, so that I can vote. I'm looking forward to it. So Windows is actually a really big investment space for us. Windows 10 is wicked, and I wouldn't recommend it to you if it wasn't, right? It's wicked. It has an inbuilt screen reader called Narrator. If you haven't messed with it, have a play. And it's also got everything else inbuilt for free. It works with the third-party accessible technology providers. JAWS, who uses JAWS? NVDA? There's some, okay, it's good. And those technology providers are crucial, right? Because they give a lot of the specialist, and just broad coverage. So we work both on our inbox, what we call our inbox and Narrator, what's free and in the product, and then how we work with the third-party providers, as well. If you're using GW Micro, Window Eyes, which I know has now been, acquired, but that Window Eyes product, which as you all know, costs a lot of money, is free for customers of Microsoft Office. We have a partnership with them. So if you don't know about that, it's been in place for a couple of years, but it's worth calling out. And then Office, I'll go techie for one more minute, and then I'll give you some examples of some stuff we're doing, and hopefully take, if there's time, Steve, some questions. I know we're running a little short. Office 365. Has anyone heard of the cloud? And I'm not talking about the rainy ones outside. the cloud is not a scary place, and it's not like in Seattle. It doesn't rain all the time. The cloud is where we are launching a lot of our products. It means that you don't buy a box, right? You actually go to a website and you download it. And it means that every time that we push out an update, it's instantly updated onto your product. So we can push out an update. It's not scary. It's all secure. We can push out an update every month. So every month this year, we've been pushing out updates on accessibility in Office, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, OneNote, Sway, which is a cool thing. Every month, and we're pushing out a lot more coming forward. So know that if you're looking at something to use at work, push your guys to get Office 365. It's where all of our investments are going. And I have to call out Jeff in this, because he has been honestly one of the reasons that the product itself is so good, is because of the feedback from Jeff Bishop. And so we are just in honestly, we like praise him. We're like nerds. Well, we are nerds. We're at Microsoft. But we praise him on a daily basis for the partnership. So I want to mention two quick programs just to give you, some sense. And then if there's time, some questions. One of the programs that we are clearly focused on is around inclusive hiring. And that is across the spectrum. We hire folks into our supported employment program, which is folks with intellectual disabilities. And we have hired 200, into our Redmond office that help us with tasks like mailroom and yards and kitchen. And that's a really big and important space for us. And the great thing is that hiring folks with disabilities there, we get an attrition. Like, folks don't leave. They like it. Like, they really don't leave. Our attrition rate's like around 1%, which is insane for a company, by the way, normally way higher. And so it's proving to others the benefit that this can bring, which I think is really important. At the end of the day, people with disabilities are talent. And that's something that it's not about getting a job. For us, it's about getting talent into the company. And the other is with autism. And we've ditched, what we found with autism is that, you know, the unemployment rate's like 84%. Is that, have you heard this? It's just insane. And then I look at the resumes, and these are resumes where the headline can be, I work 3 hours a week at Safeway, but at the bottom of the resume, you see that they have a master's, a degree, or even a PhD. These are kids, just because they're younger than me, they're kids that are incredibly talented, but social awkwardness isn't a great mix when it comes to interviews. So we ditched the interviews. We don't interview. We work with Prevail, which is a social agency here in Washington. And we work with these guys. We bring them to Microsoft for 2 weeks, and we give them tasks, like build a shop, hit some Lego Mindstorms, go crazy. And we assess their skills, and we've hired 22 so far, and we'll hire a lot more into things like Xbox, holograms, crazy products that these guys are now doing and bringing their talent to us. And we want to do a hell of a lot more of it. And then with blindness, the one thing we're really pushing is making sure that we are a great place to work. And so we're now in partnership with Seattle Lighthouse for the Blind, which is fantastic. We miss Kirk. We love the new gig. And they're helping us with things like making sure that there's orientation. When Microsoft is like 100 buildings in Redmond. It's like 60,000 people, guys. It's huge. And every building is like a squirrel's nest. I get lost and I have sight. And so how we can help folks to orientate, where's the cafe, where's my office, where's my boss, and learning the routes, as well as we've trained every single shuttle driver. We've extended the shuttle so they drop you off near home. And so things, anything like that, that we can do to make this a great place to work. Because at the end of the day, if we're going to make great products, great websites that work for the blind, that work with sight loss, we need people with blindness, with sight loss at the company. It is logic and it makes business sense. So I guess I'd leave you with a few things. Please help me get the word out on Dad. If you've got any products about Windows, Office, anything that we have, it's a great place to go. They're quicker on their email than I am. I like email. I'm deaf. It means I don't have to talk to anyone. But my mailbox does get a little full. But the Dad is always there, and the chat is 24/7. So help me to get the word out on that. If there's feedback that you have on products that work well for you, not well for you, we want to hear it. You can let them know. You can also go to, if you search on a reputable search engine like Bing, if you search for Microsoft User Voice accessibility, you'll see a forum, and we take any and all feedback on that. And my team are constantly ripping over it. And then the last thing is the workplace. If you know a great talent, if there are ways that we can help build more technical talent at technical talent with blindness, because guys, we got some work to do on college and university and helping these kids get through. Most kids drop out, between high school and the first year of college. And so we desperately want to help there to build the pipeline. And get the word out. I have 44 open roles today on accessibility at Microsoft across the company. We're that committed. So I guess I would, if that's okay, Steve, say if there's any questions or
should we? Are short on time.
We're a little short on time. No questions. Tough. You like the free drinks. I get you. I hear you. I don't, but okay. I leave you with my thanks. Thank you for allowing me to come today and chat with y'all. I see that was American. Did you get that, y'all? I'm trying. Thank you for the partnership, and I look forward to a lot more of it in time to come. Thank you so much.
I would like to invite Julie Brannon to the mic.
She's getting there.
Okay.
Am I going the wrong way?
Julie has something she would like to say before we break.
Right. Is Jenny still here, by the way?
She
stayed up here. Oh, good.
I'd like to present, and after listening to her speak, I can tell it's extremely deserved, but I'd like to present the Business of the Year Award to Microsoft. Yay. Let me share with you what the Business of the Year Award is, and then I'd like to read with you what is on the certificate. And by the way, every framed award that we hand out, actually every award, we are into accessibility in WCB, is both print and Braille. So, letting you know, Braille is there, you guys. All right. Yay. This award is given to a business which has provided outstanding customer service to people who are blind or visually impaired, and which has demonstrated its consideration of blind and visually impaired customers by providing appropriate and respectable services to these customers, and where appropriate, has made publicly available materials accessible via Braille, recordings, large print, or accessible websites. Special mention should be made if this business, and here we go, employs any people who are blind or visually impaired. Yay, Microsoft. This award was nominated by President Steve Fixtel, and the certificate wording is, Business of the Year Award is presented to Microsoft Corporation. Microsoft has long maintained a commitment to accessibility. Chairman Bill Gates on Microsoft's commitment says, our vision is to create innovative technology that is accessible to everyone and that adapts to each person's needs. Accessible technology eliminates barriers for people with disabilities, and it enables individuals to take full advantage of their capabilities. And that was a quote by Mr. Gates. For more than two decades, Microsoft has focused on developing products and services that enable people of all ages and abilities to realize their full potential. By the way, it's signed by President Steve Fixtel, and this is being given on November 4th, 2016. Thank you so much, Microsoft, and thank you, Jenny. Thank you so much. Thank you, my dear. All right.
Many thanks to Microsoft, and thank you for being here, Jenny.
Thank you so much.
I don't suppose anybody's ready for a break. Oh, you'd rather forego the break for a door prize? We are really running behind, and I apologize for that. Is the door prize?
She's coming back to her seat.
Okay. Following the door prize, we will take a 10-minute break, and I'd appreciate it if everyone could quickly take care of whatever business you need to. We have yet two presentations this morning, one from an ophthalmologist, which I think we'll find very enlightening, and also a panel discussion from the Blind Veterans Rehabilitation Center and the Blind Veterans Association. So they are shaking up the names.
I'm trying to get it on. There we go. Just a clarification about door prizes. If you win one, your name goes in a baggie and doesn't come out till the banquet. So only one person will be winning until the banquet, and then we put them all back in. If you are not in the room, you don't get one unless you are doing some kind of work for the convention. So if I say a name of someone who is working and you know that, please let us know. Ready? Oh, this is so fun. Woohoo.
First prize is...
Hang on. I'm going to... Okay. What is the prize?
Prize is
$25 gift certificate from UWBC, United Blind... Whatcom County. Oh my gosh. Javon Brinkley? Not here. Oh, we get to draw again. Where's the jar? The jar has a lid on it.
Remember, you must be present to win.
You can put it back in.
I will just a minute. Yeah. How about Dorothy Bryant? Oh, we're gonna get there. $25 is nothing to laugh at. Okay. How about Patty Hale? Uh-oh. I think we lost half our crowd. How about Andy Arvidsson? Yay! Yay! guys, but he has to know where you are. All right. Someone else is bringing you. Great.
All right. Thank you. Let's take a 10-minute break. Be back at 10:55.
Steve, if I could say something really quick. This is Julie, and I need to see if I can, if they're in the room, Miles Husted and Leona Domingo, if you could come up to the front left. I'm with a yellow jacket up here. I need to see you. Thank you.